Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and today we have a lovely bhajan adoring our Lord as Lord Shiva. It's a very beautiful bhajan which used to be sung in the Sanctum Sanctorum of Prashantinilayam way back in the 60s and 70s, a four-line Namavali on Lord Shiva Shankara. So like in every episode of this program, we will get familiar with the lyrics of the bhajan and then we'll move on to the tune, the raga and the meaning of its every word. But before all that, here is how the first line of the bhajan flows.
Neelakantha Mahadeva Gauri Vandana.
So this is the bhajan we will learn now. So here are the lyrics of the bhajan.
Neelakantha Mahadeva Gauri Vandana Chandrachuda Dayanatha Nandi Vahana Samba Shiva Shuladhari Nagabhushana Phalanetra Umakanta Parama Pavana.
Now that you are familiar with the lyrics, Brother Srinivasulu and Anirudh will now teach you how to sing this bhajan. Please pay attention to how this bhajan flows.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale F sharp pancham.
Neelakantha Mahadeva Gauri Vandana.
Neelakantha Mahadeva Gauri Vandana.
Neelakantha Mahadeva Gauri Vandana.
Neelakantha Mahadeva Gauri Vandana.
Chandrachuda Dayanatha Nandi Vahana.
Chandrachuda Dayanatha Nandi Vahana.
Chandrachuda Dayanatha Nandi Vahana.
Chandrachuda Dayanatha Nandi Vahana.
Samba Shiva Shuladhari Nagabhushana.
Samba Shiva Shuladhari Nagabhushana.
Samba Shiva Shuladhari Nagabhushana.
Samba Shiva Shuladhari Nagabhushana.
Phalanetra Umakanta Parama Pavana.
Phalanetra Umakanta Parama Pavana.
Phalanetra Umakanta Parama Pavana.
Phalanetra Umakanta Parama Pavana.
Neelakantha Mahadeva Gauri Vandana.
So that's the refreshing bhajan and Lord Shiva. This is set to the 6th beat. We will discuss more about the raga and the beat as we move on in this program. First, let us learn about the composition, about the swaras and the technicalities in terms of the raga. Anirudh is here with us to share his thoughts on this bhajan. So tell us, Anirudh, this is a lovely bhajan on Lord Shiva. We don't have many on Lord, 6-beat on Lord Shiva. So this is a really a welcome addition to the bhajan repertoire, right?
Yes, I remember we discussing a vintage 6-beat Shiva bhajan before, which is
Neelakantha Gangadhar Hara Umapate.
Yet another bright bhajan. So if you analyze the Shiva bhajans, the compositions, most of them will be heavy raga based, because Shiva,
Gambhira.
That it is Gambhira and also meditativeness.
Yes.
Shiva was always meditative and the ragas chosen for the Shiva bhajans are like
Nandi Vahana He Vishwanath Nataraja He Tripura. Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, భస్మభూషితాంగ సాయ చంద్రశేఖర ఓం నమ శివాయ శివాయ నమ ఓం నమ శివాయ.
సో మోస్ట్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ విల్ హ్యావ్ ద కోమల్ రీ,
yes,
if you observe. But there is no hard and fast rule in composing that, you know, you have to compose this way. It's just the what idea comes to your mind. By Swami's grace, the composer has got many tunes, and we have some bright bhajans of Shiva, bright in the sense more major based ragas, or happier mood kind of ragas, like
Shambho Mahadeva, Har 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 Sabha Shiva, Shiva Shambho Shambho, Shiva Shambho Mahadeva, Mahadeva Shiva Shambho Shankara,
and many others. Because finally what matters is the name of the Lord. So the feel, as I mentioned before, the feel of the bhajan, the tune helps us in giving the entire life of the bhajan. So be it major, minor, or heavy raga based or light raga based, doesn't matter. But finally, if the tune helps to get you connected with the lyrics of the bhajan, I think that's a beautiful composition.
Yes. And that's what you see here.
Yes, absolutely. And in the second line is so beautiful that it goes to the Yaman. So coming to raga of this bhajan is based on raga Yaman in the Hindustani classical music, or we call it Kalyani in the Carnatic classical music. Let me take you through the notes.
Sa re
shudri,
ga
shudga,
ma
tivrama,
pa dha
శుద్ధ ధ
నీ
శుద్ధిని. సో జస్ట్ ద మా ఇస్ తీవ్ర ఫ్రమ్ ద శంకరాభరణం ఆర్ బిలావల్.
సని ద పరి గ పదని సని ద పద పగ మరే గ
Kalyani or Yaman based versions.
Yes.
And all are very soothing and pleasant to listen.
Yes. Again, I think this is a very familiar raga. So let's go to the bhajan and discover its swaras.
Yes. So let's take the first line.
Neelakanta Mahadeva Gauri Vandana Gari Gari Sasa Sasare Neni Sagari
గరి గరి ససారి నీని సాగరే
చంద్రచూడ దయానాథ నంది వాహన నేరే మామ మద మగరి రే గరి ససా
నేరే మామ మద మగరి రే గరి ససా
సాంబ శివ శూలధారి నాగభూషణ స గ గ ప ప పా pa 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 ma pa ga.
Sa sa ga ga pa 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 ma pa ga.
Phala netra uma kanta parama pavana. Ga 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 sa re ga 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 sa re ga ga sa sa.
Ga 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 sa re ga 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 sa re ga ga sa sa.
So I guess the beat for this also is very simple.
Yes, the beat is 6 beat, which is Dadra or Rupakam in the classical music. And you have many 6 beat bhajans in our Sai bhajans. Shankara Sadashiva, Bhasma Bhushitanga Sai, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. All these are 6 beat. So let's have a small demonstration with the help of Kanjira. Let's have the count.
1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So we are now in that part of the program where we discuss about the meaning of every word of this bhajan. So let's take the first line.
Neelakantha Mahadeva Gauri Vandana.
Neelakantha means the one who has a blue throat. Lord Shiva is hailed as Neelakantha because according to the legend, when the churning of the ocean for nectar happened between the devas and the asuras, the demons and the angels, what emerged in this process of churning was halahala, the deadly poison, and nobody knew what to do with it. The poison was so lethal that it could destroy the entire creation. It is at this point that Lord Shiva stepped in and he drank the poison but kept it in his throat. He did not allow the poison to seep down his body because it was dangerous. Anything that happened to Shiva would affect the entire creation. So to protect his creation, Lord Shiva took the poison himself but kept it on his throat, because the body of Lord Shiva is this entire creation and he will do anything to protect the creation. He will drink the poison itself. So that is the symbolic meaning of this story. Lord Shiva will do anything. The Lord will go to any extent to protect all of us, to protect the entire mankind and the entire manifestation that we see around us. In fact, this selflessness is the hallmark of Lord Shiva. That is the hallmark of divinity, isn't it? And that is what we have seen in Bhagwan's life too, who has declared that he is in fact the Shiva Shakti avatar. I remember on so many occasions while speaking to the students, Swami would always say that he is selfless from top to toe. And that is what pure love is. Pure love does not know how to think about itself. It knows only to give and forgive. One incident comes to mind as we talk about the selflessness of the Lord. During the summer months of April, May, Bhagwan would often take a group of students and go to Kodaikanal, and they would stay with Bhagwan in Sai Shruti, his abode in this heavenly town. On one of these trips, owing to the cold environment of the hills, a boy caught severe cold and cough. So while the sessions would go on in the Sai Shruti, all the boys would be sitting around him and Bhagwan would be interacting with them in that very informal setting. But this boy's cough outburst would just go on. Once it starts, it would not stop and it would be for several minutes at a stretch. He sneezes obviously disturb the ambience in the room and that would make him feel terribly embarrassed and awkward, but he did not know what to do. And whenever his cough started, Swami would look at him with a lot of compassion. And a couple of times, Swami would even guide him to take care of his food and take proper rest and so on. The boy tried everything as suggested by Bhagwan, but to no avail. By the third day, there were two more boys who contracted the same problem. And that morning, when Bhagwan emerged from his room, he called all the three boys to him. And with a lot of love, Swami said, "I am going to give you something that will help you." And immediately Swami waved his hand and he manifested three tiny white tablets. And Swami said, "Pop the tablets in and drink water. You will be fine." So he handed the tablets to the three students. And as Bhagwan moved on, one of the students looked at the tablets carefully to see which company they belonged to. And to his pleasant surprise, he saw the inscription in the tablet there. It was written DRSAI, Dr. Sai. Obviously, the boys were thrilled and they promptly gulped down the pills and they knew this is going to be the end of all their travails. And that is what it was for the two of them. Bhagwan's Dr. Sai tablets had cured the cough of two boys. But there was no improvement in the condition of the students who was coughing from the start. In fact, his condition worsened. Even 2 days after taking the tablet that Bhagwan had given, he continued to cough with no respite. In fact, by now, more than the pain of the cough, what was tormenting him every time was not only was he disturbing the ambience in Sai Shruti, he also felt that he was such a despicable being that, you know, even God's special grace failed to work on him. So he would just helplessly cry to himself all the time, wishing and praying that somehow he could stop being a distraction during all those divine sessions that Bhagwan was so graciously granting to everyone there. So his pain continued, his trauma never stopped. 5 days passed. Still there was no sign of his cough abating even a bit. On the morning of the sixth day too, it was the same story. That day, as Bhagwan descended the steps from his room on the first floor, he saw the boy sitting at the end of the staircase and he was still coughing. And in fact, by now, his body trembled as he coughed. And when Bhagwan came down the steps, Bhagwan now just looked at him. And that look was filled with such overwhelming kindness. Swami just saw him with a lot of love. He said nothing. And then he moved on. A few paces later, again Bhagwan stopped. He looked back at that boy. And now Swami himself coughed a couple of times and told this boy, "Your cough," and he walked away. The boys around laughed. They thought that Swami was perhaps imitating how this boy was coughing. Swami moved on and he gave darshan to the devotees waiting outside. And that day, after he returned, the sessions inside Sai Shruti began as usual. Bhagwan, on that particular day, gave a long discourse. Post lunch too, Swami held a beautiful session and interacted with many of the students. And just before all the boys retired for the night, one student came up to this boy who had this cough problem and said, "Brother, did you realize that you did not cough the entire day today?" Only then did it occur to this boy that indeed a miracle had happened that day. In fact, that boy was so lost in enjoying the proceedings of the day in a seamless manner, which he had never enjoyed till then, that he had become oblivious to the fact that he had not coughed. He was just soaking in the blessing of being with Swami. And now, after so many days, he was listening to Bhagwan in an uninterrupted manner. You know, the pain of the cough, the memory of the cough, everything had just evaporated in that place. And years later, he would recall this incident and say, you know, that is why Bhagwan means so much to all of us. He will not just stop with giving us a solution to our problems. He will wait and watch, and if the remedies do not work, he will give himself to us. That is the extent of his love. His love is fathomless. He will do anything for us. When love moves and talks, it glows only as sacrifice. Love lives only by sacrifice. There is no limit to sacrifice, because love itself has no limits. That is what is signified by Neelakantha. Mahadeva Gauri Vandana. Mahadeva means the great Lord. Maha means great and Deva means God. Gauri is the name of Mother Parvati, the divine consort of Lord Shiva, the Shakti aspect of creation. Vandana means to worship or pay obeisance to. Gauri Vandana refers to Lord Shiva, who is adored by the entire creation, who is adored by Mother Parvati, who is worshipped by Mother Gauri. So that is what the first line of this bhajan connotes. We worship the Lord, who is the embodiment of sacrifice, who is the greatest of all the gods, and who is revered by Mother Nature. Let's move on to the second line.
Chandra Chuda Dayanatha Nandi Vahana.
Chandra Chuda. This is a phrase which is not generally used. Very beautiful phrase. Chandra means moon. Chuda has many meanings. One of them means the crown of the head. It also refers to the hair on the head, the single lock or tuft of hair on the crown of the head after tonsure. Even that is called as Chuda. Chandra Chuda here refers to Lord Shiva, who has the moon on his crown of hair. Bhagwan says how moon is the presiding deity of the mind, and Lord Shiva reduced the moon to the crescent on the fifth day, on the Panchami, and placed the crescent on his head. This act by the Lord implies reduction of the mind and desires. Lord Shiva is the controller of time. That is why he is called as Kalaya Namaha, Kala Titaya Namaha, Kala Darpa Tamanaya Namaha. The moon also symbolizes coolness. It symbolizes a state of tranquility and purity. In fact, there is an interesting legend in Indian culture about how Lord Shiva began wearing the crescent as an ornament on his head. There was a king named Daksha, whose daughters were the 27 birth stars. He got all of them married to the moon, but the moon had a special fondness for one of them called Rohini. And this led to all the other wives becoming jealous, and they complained to their father about the moon's impartiality. And Lord Shiva became very angry with this, and he cursed the moon to lose its luminance day after day. Every day the moon lost one luminance part out of the 16 parts. And afraid and ashamed, the moon finally disappeared into the ocean. Now this became a catastrophe for the world, because there were many herbs that needed the light of the moon to grow, and without the moon, the world would be deprived of the power of these herbs. So all the devas, the celestial beings, advised the moon to surrender to Lord Shiva. By now the moon was left with only one color, only one part of his luminance. He went to Lord Shiva and took refuge in him. The benevolent Lord Shiva took the crescent and wore it on his head, and now made him grow for 15 days and decay for the rest 15 days periodically. The moon god is said to have been relieved from the curse of his father-in-law Daksha by the blessings of Lord Shiva. And because the moon was so blessed by Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva is hailed as Somanath. Soma means moon and Natha means Lord. He is the Lord of the moon. Again, here you see the graciousness of Lord Shiva. the moon, who is supposed to serve the world impartially, got lost in the attractions of the world and forgot his duties. And that is why it lost its brilliance. But when finally it found refuge at the feet of Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva, the benevolent one, the most compassionate one, he would come to the rescue of anyone. When the moon realized his mistake, the Lord Shiva forgave his trespasses and accepted him. But at the same time, the moon had to lose its shine and gain its shine every 15 days. That is what happens when we get lost in the temptations of the world. We lose our shine. We will get back our shine only when we take refuge at the feet of the Lord. And the Lord is always willing to forgive us and to give us back our light and our love. In fact, this reminds me of Bhagwan's visit to this historic temple, which stands at the shore of the Arabian Ocean on the western corner of the Indian subcontinent in Gujarat state, the Somnath Temple. In fact, it was one of the richest temples of India. When the Muslims conquered and ruled over Punjab and Sindh, it attracted the plunderers. Depredation, desecration, destruction, reconstruction and rededication. Those became the recurring chapters of its long history. The infamous raid by Muhammad of Ghazni in 1026 AD was the third in the long list of catastrophes that this temple had to face. The fifth temple too met with a similar fate at the hands of the rulers of Delhi. Finally, on Diwali Day in 1947, when the Indian army entered the Nawabdom of Junagadh and liberated the pathetically dilapidated pile of stone recognized by many as Somnath, it was rescued from those who could not appreciate the value and validity of idols, images and symbols of the unknown and the unknowable. Sardar Vallabhbhai Patel announced on that day, the Home Minister of the time, that we have decided that Somnath will be reconstructed, and this is a holy task in which all should participate. The new temple was planned closely on the basis of the earlier temples, and now the Gopuram, the main gateway through which seekers would enter into the portals of the Jyotirlinga, was to be inaugurated by Someshwara, by Lord Somnatha, who was in human form as Shiva Shakti, as Satya Sai. In fact, Swami declared that he would reveal that day the genuine Somnath. This happened in 1970. And this declaration, Professor Kasturi says, filled us with wonder and enthusiastic exuberance. All the roads converging from Jamnagar to Somnath were filled with shouts of jaikars in acceleration. Swami was received at the decorated Shamiana in front of the Digvijay Dwar by the trustees of the Somnath Temple, as well as by the high officers of the district and the states. Amid strains of temple music, Swami walked on the red carpet laid on the steps and opened the lock of the artistically carved and silver embossed door with a silver key. Swami then proceeded along the festooned pathway between rows of fresh banana trees to the main shrine of Someshwar, which was the focal point of the faith of millions for millennia. Swami entered the holy of the holies. Pandits were reciting Vedic hymns which reverberated from the arched and conical roof, which was at 150 feet above the ground. Bhagwan then directed that a plate be brought. Swami then spread the fingers of his hand and shook over the plate, and in that instant, magically, 108 silver bilva leaves and 108 golden flowers fell from his hand in a clinking shower. They were then reverentially touched by the devotees. It was meant Swami was doing this entire procedure for the devotees, for the sake of recharging this temple, which was a 3 feet high lingam. And Bhagwan then poured these mystically, majestically created bilva leaves and golden flowers on the linga, just like he had done at Sri Shailam. It was like Mother Ganga was poured into the stream of the Ganga. The benedictions of Shiva did not stop there that day. Within seconds, Swami again waved his hand, and lo and behold, a ball of brilliant light manifested in his palm. And Professor Kasturi was immediately reminded of Swami's announcement, "I shall show you the genuine Someshwara Linga today." So this was the genuine one installed, as the legend says, by Brahma himself and worshipped by the moon god. In fact, it was a Swayambhu Linga, as mentioned in the Skanda Purana. That Linga was as bright as the sun. It was the size of an egg of a hen, and it is supposed to have been situated underground, and it is characteristic of Vayu. It's a Vayu Linga. In fact, there are many Lingas, each Linga associated with one element. There are Akashi Linga, Teja Linga, Vayu Linga, Prithvi Linga. So this was a Vayu Linga, and this oval ball of light was in Bhagwan's hand, the authentic Someshwara that Swami had resolved to bring up from its underground niche, which has survived centuries of the temple's dilapidation and desecration. And as everyone watched with wonder at this brilliant manifestation of his glory, Swami again waved his hand and created a silver stand on which this linga could be placed. And finally, he gave it to the chief priest, and Swami said, "Let it now be in the full light of day hereafter. Let the pious eyes admire its brilliance and imprint its glory on their hearts. There is no need to keep it away. The avatar has come to remove all fear," Swami declared. So that was the triumphant emergence of Someshwara Lingam. Swami then unfurled the flag on the towering finial over the central shrine. People shouted, "Jai Bhagwan, Jai Bhagwan," as Bhagwan gave darshan on the temple steps. That is how Shiva Shakti himself, Someshwara himself, recharged the Somanath shrine, the Someshwara Lingam. In Indian tradition, there are 12 Jyoti Lingas, and among them include the Visveshwara Lingam in Varanasi, the Kedarnath in the Himalayas, Rameshwaram in the extreme south, Sri Shailam in Andhra Pradesh, Mahakaleshwar in Ujjain, and Trayambakeshwar in Nasik. And Someshwara is in fact the primordial lingam of the 12 Jyotirlingas. And Bhagwan was in Somnath to revive the ancient glorious tradition of devotion of this ancient land of Bharat. So that is the meaning of Chandrachura. We went into Somnath talking about how the moon resides on Lord Shiva. And the next phrase is Dayanatha. Dayanatha means one of compassion. It is out of his immense compassion that the Lord has revived all the sanctum sanctorums that are there outside of us, as well as the sanctum sanctorum that is there inside of us. And the last phrase is Nandi Vahana. Again, Nandi being the vehicle of Lord Shiva is very symbolic. Swami says that you see in temples of Lord Shiva, Nandi in front of the deity. The significance is that the Nandi is always focused on the Lord. Just like the Lingam is the symbol of the Lord, the Nandi is the symbol for Jiva or the individual soul. Just like the Nandi, man should turn away from Prakriti, from nature, and direct all his attention on the Creator. And if, like the Nandi, we are ever focused on the Lord, then we become the carriers of the Lord, just like the Nandi has become the vehicle of the Lord. Even an animal can become an instrument of the Lord if we can rein in our senses and focus only on the one who is the Lord of the senses and the mind. That is what is conveyed in this line. Chandra Chuda Dayanatha Nandi Vahana. We have two more lines in this bhajan. Samba Shiva Shuladhari Nagabhushana.
Samba Shiva Shuladhari Nagabhushana.
Samba comes from Sa Amba. Sa means divine. Amba means mother. Shiva literally means auspicious. Shuladhari. Shula means trident. Dhari means the one who holds. Shuladhari refers to Lord Shiva holding the trident. Nagabhushana. Naga refers to serpent. Bhushana means ornament. Again describing Lord Shiva who wears a serpent as an ornament on his body. He is the Lord of creation. The moon is on his body. The serpents are on his body. And he holds the trident, which has three faces signifying past, present and future. He is the Lord of time and he is the most auspicious one. That is what is signified with this line. Samba Shiva Shuladhari Nagabhushana. We now come to the last line.
Palanetra Umakanta Paramapavana.
Palanetra Umakanta Parama Pavana. Phala means forehead. Netra is eye. Phala Netra refers to the third eye on the forehead of Lord Shiva. Again, the three eyes of the Lord refers to him as the one who can see the past, who can see the present, and who knows the future. Uma Kanta. Uma refers to Mother Parvati. Kanta is dear. One who is the dear Lord of Mother Parvati. Mother Parvati represents nature. Parama Pavana. Parama is supreme. Pavana is pure. So we refer to the Lord who is the controller of time, who is the Lord of creation, and who is the most auspicious one. Every phrase used in this bhajan is so pregnant with meaning. We can just think about one attribute of Shiva and that will elevate us. That will diminish our mind just like the moon diminishes. And finally, Lord Shiva accepts the moon and places it on his head. Similarly, if we can control our mind, then the Lord himself will come and lift us and place us as an ornament on his crown. That is the grace of the Lord. All he wants is we should be focused on him, that we should desire him and him alone, because there is no greater happiness than union with the divine. Only when we connect to the Lord are we filled with Shiva Tattva, with that auspiciousness, with that eternal bliss. Dear listeners, let's ruminate on this powerful phrases in this bhajan and sing this once again along with the students of Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir.
Neelakantha Mahadeva Gauri Vandana.
Neelakantha Mahadeva Gauri Vandana.
Neelakantha Mahadeva Gauri Vandana.
Neelakantha Mahadeva Gauri Vandana.
Chandra Chuda Dayanath Nandi Vahana.
शिवाशूलधारि नागभूषणा
फालनेत्र उमाकांत परम पावना
फालनेत्र उमाकांत परम पावना
फालनेत्र उमाकांत परम पावना
फालनेत्र उमाकांत परम पावना
नीलकंठ महादेव गौरी वंदना
కంట మహాదేవ గౌరీ వందనా
చంద్రచూడ దయానాథ నంది వాహనా
చంద్రచూడ దయానాథ నంది వాహనా
సాంబ శివా శూలధారి నాగభూషణ
సాంబ శివా శూలధారి నాగభూషణ
బాలనేత్ర ఉమాకాంత పరమ పావన
బాలనేత్ర ఉమాకాంత పరమ పావన
బాలనేత్ర ఉమాకాంత పరమ పావన
బాలనేత్ర ఉమాకాంత పరమ పావన
నీలకంఠ మహాదేవ గౌరీ వందనా.
So that brings us to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at His lotus feet.